This is HDN.
Thursday, July the 3rd. Hello there.
Hello. Looks like we're going to be saying hello to Arthur by the end
Arthur. I guess I shouldn't have said that and made fun of it when you first mentioned Arthur.
Shouldn't have made fun of him. By the end of the day today, Arthur is expected to be upgraded to a full-blown hurricane. As of this taping, he is a tropical storm,
right. But
is expected to grow into a hurricane, and already parts of the eastern seaboard of the U.S. are under hurricane watches. We have a number of weather statements and cyclone warnings, as Environment Canada calls them. Kaylin Mitchell, the meteorologist with CBC, says he is expecting that Arthur might even be a Category 1 by the time it reaches us on Saturday. And that has really thrown a wrench into a lot of plans.
What are they going to do at camp?
Well, not the least of which, yeah, that was my first
thought. Yeah, Bronwyn's off at camp right now.
Boy, that's going to be windy on the island. But they've already gone ahead and canceled Stanfest down in Canso. And, I mean, that is a huge event. Mm-hmm. They had 700 volunteers lined up to help with this weekend. It was supposed to run Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They've pulled the pin on the entire weekend, saying it's just not worth it.
No. You know what? They're absolutely right, because that's outdoor. It's tents.
Well,
it's not just the sound system and the lighting system.
No.
It's all of the tents.
Exactly. And, I mean, the funny part is that Stanfest is known for its hardiness, because they have gone through with weather that would make lesser mortals weep. I mean, wind, rain, cold. But they said, you know what? We are just not willing to take the risk on this one. Tents, you know, the tents that they have are not meant to withstand winds of 100 clicks. And, you know, when
I'd like to see the tents that are.
Well, yeah, and I don't think there are too many.
Yeah.
And especially once the ground gets wet, it gets saturated, and the tents are even less stable
sure. In
that wind. So they have just decided to swallow it, and it's going to be a loss of tens of thousands of dollars just initially off the bat, because
wow. That's
what they've spent already.
So canceling it altogether or
altogether.
Rescheduling?
Nope. They are canceling it altogether. Because, I mean, there's just no way that they would be able to rebook all of those acts that have, you know, 3 days worth of music.
I wonder what ticket sales were like.
Tickets, well, they're always great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not an issue at all.
Safety is the issue.
Safety is the issue.
Well,
yeah.
Good on them, then.
Absolutely. Safety is the issue.
And speaking of safety, we will make sure that we continue broadcasting. After all, we are in the bunker. So
yeah,
we
right.
will continue sending these out even during the storm. Unless, of course, the power goes and then we're all screwed. But if we have some power of any kind,
yeah. We
will keep sending this podcast out, and who knows, we might even up the frequency of the podcasts if needed.
Good idea. Specifics at this point, it's way too early to tell, you know, what wind speeds are going to be like, how much rain, but suffice to say that, you know, the early models on this are looking like 100 millimeters in 12 hours. That's a lot of rain in a short period of time. This crossed the desk today, and I think everybody who read it just kind of shook their head. Former Halifax Mayor Peter Kelly
has
a new job.
Oh.
He is now in the pest control business. Target Pest Control issued a press release yesterday saying that they had received so many phone calls asking about this that they finally had to confirm, yes, Peter Kelly has been added as a partner to the business and will be working in business development. Now, it's interesting in the lovely flourish that is the press release, not one word is mentioned about the fact that he was mayor. They say his business and public sector background, as well as his business development skills and knowledge of Halifax and Nova Scotia, will help us push our business to the next level. You know, and all they say is he's worked for over 30 years in both the private and public sectors.
Well, yeah, because if you mention that he's mayor, it's a pest control business, then it'll come up the fact that he debated for years the whole cat bylaw thing, and still there are feral cats running around all over the place in Halifax. So really, pest control? Really?
Well, February 2012, you'll remember, that's when Peter Kelly said he would not reoffer for the fall election that year.
So he had this juicy tidbit there on the back burner waiting for him already?
But, no, you know what? He's been
he's had his eye on roaches and rats for years.
He's been working as a consultant off and on, taking a lot of time to reconnect with his family. It came to light last year that, as well as the two sons that he has with his estranged wife, turned out that he had a third son that he never even knew about, a man in his late 30s who lives out west. So he's been, you know, reconnecting and establishing a relationship with him. Now, you know, to be honest, finding a career was not a major priority, only because he gets a $70,000 a year pension from the Halifax Regional Municipality.
Right.
The president of the company, a gentleman by the name of Stephen Taylor, actually once worked for Peter Kelly during his time as a politician.
Uh-huh.
So they've known each other over the years. And
so what capacity will he be in? Will he be actually crawling under eaves and spraying things and stuff?
No, he's going to be working in business development. So he's just going to be, you know, reaching out to new markets and trying to find new customers. And
he's worked with a lot of cockroaches while he was mayor here. So you know what? This might not be a bad profession for him after all.
Might be a good fit. Yeah. You never can tell. Well, it looks like Spider-Man and the gang were back at work at the IWK this week. Saw these pictures floating around on social media, and it has to make you smile. I think I saw this last year.
Well, we saw it live last year on our building.
That's right. Skyreach Properties, I do believe, is the company.
I don't know the name of the company. I just know that it's this one guy, and he decided just to do it himself.
Well,
he washes windows on high rises, and he decided, well, why don't I don the old Spider-Man outfit?
Well, it's not just one guy anymore.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. Batman, Robin, Spider-Man, and Superman. All washing windows at the IWK yesterday, and the kids went out of their minds.
Oh, they must have loved it.
Oh, my God.
Except for the one wing that ended up with the thing. They were like, oh, come on. Really? Can we get somebody? Aquaman was up there. Who? What superhero would you least like to see on your window? The Flash.
The Flash.
That would be boring. Just, you know, The Flasher.
That's the one you don't want to see.
Yeah, I guess.
So got this from Haligonia.ca. You remember a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was just last week, we were telling you about the ad on Kijiji from the Bears Lake Eastside Mario's that were selling.
The crown.
The crown, yeah. The Liberty crown. Yeah, this was posted. It says, just want to show you guys this pic. Thanks to your post of it being for sale, we sold it right away. The iconic Liberty crown at Eastside Mario's came down on Monday after 17 years. Keep an eye out for our new look to be revealed on July 16th, and it was signed from by the marketing manager at Eastside Mario's. So
it's funny, after we did the podcast, I drove around there and looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many people actually did that, saying, gee, Eastside Mario's, I want to see what that crown looks like. You've seen it a million times, but then when you actually drive by and you look at it, it's not the entire width of the building like I thought it was in my mind. It just kind of went over the front door. It would have been neat. I would have loved to have put that in my house. Or you could have done a remake of Planet of the Apes with that thing.
Well, I wonder who bought it and why.
They didn't reveal that information, huh?
No.
Bet you it was the Trailer Park Boys.
Oh my God.
You know what?
They may have some, because they were only asking $200 for it, weren't they? Yeah.
Well, I bet you it's not necessarily all that nice.
God, can you imagine? It's probably encrusted with bird shit, and it's...
Oh, but I don't think it's all that... I mean, it was a facade, so you could see it when you walked up to the door, but nobody saw it from above, so I'm sure that it was just a bunch of thin sheet metal, and it looked nice from one angle, but that's
all it had to, though.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there was a reason that they were only selling it for $200.
Mm.
But if you are the person that bought it...
Oh, God, we'd love to hear from you.
Oh, get in touch. We'll interview you. We'll do a whole show just on you and what you're going to do with the crown.
So there's another film festival coming to Nova Scotia in Shelburne. It's called Get Your Shorts On, and it's a competition, and they're looking for short films right now. It's a competition that's open to all Nova Scotians age 14 and up, and entering a film is free of charge, and filmmakers are encouraged to visit the submissions page on the Shelburne Film Expo's website, and you have until August 1st to place your entry. And they say it's a way to showcase Nova Scotia's many talented filmmakers and get their work presented on the big screen. Now, the finalists.
Max Speed, are you listening?
I know. That's
are you
why,
listening, Max?
That's exactly why I brought this up, because I was saying this is a personal message to Max Speed. Get your shorts on. The finalists screened Friday, September 5th at Shelburne Regional High. And this is brand new, like I said, and they want to sort of bring world-class independent short films together with the work of filmmakers from around Nova Scotia. And also during that weekend of September 5th and 6th, they're going to be having a series of free video production workshops. And again, if you're older than 14, you're invited to attend. And if you want some more information on any or all of this, www.shelburnefilmexpo.com.
All right, I'm going to quickly jump into the email bag here, because okay. This is about something we were talking about yesterday, a couple of days ago. This is from Steve Oliver. Mm-hmm. Says, I love the podcast. Keep up the good work. Apologies for the long email, but he thinks it's an important issue that many people in Halifax don't understand. Feel free to edit for length. Well, basically, He wants to talk about the Armdale Rotary.
Yes.
The fact that I said there were no laws when I first came to town. First of all, I do have to say, Steve, that has changed. There are laws on the Armdale Rotary. It used to be just a gentlemanly four-way stop, treat every intersection like a four-way stop when I first arrived here. And that was just crazy, because then they had to put lights in it, and it was insane.
It was a friggin' lawless Wild West is what it was.
Yeah. So they actually did make rules. And for that one particular rotary, they actually have which lane you should be in for wherever you want to exit.
For your purpose.
He says, I want to offer a correction to something on Monday's podcast about the Armdale Rotary. Jamie talked about the Armdale Rotary and the rules for it. I drive through the rotary on a fairly regular basis and recently had a close call, which made me want to look up the legal rules for the Armdale Rotary. This rotary is unique in that it has five lanes of traffic instead of the usual four.
Okay.
And also, I don't think there's enough space for the rotary to allow cars to change lanes inside the rotary like most rotaries. Okay, Steve, first of all, I got to stop you there. Never do you change lanes inside a rotary. This is not Britain. And I know in Great Britain, they do that, where you change from middle to outside and then you eventually exit out the rotary. No. The rules for the rotary here in Canada is if you're in the inside lane, you can exit on whichever exit you want to exit on.
But does that pertain to the Armdale Rotary?
You can't change lanes on any rotary.
Okay.
So back to the letter. First of all, let me tell you about my close call. I drove down St. Margaret's Bay Road heading to Quinpool Road. Okay, so he would have been going past the Herring Cove Road exit and then going out onto Quinpool Road.
Correct.
According to the rotary rules, I can use either lane. That's correct. I was in the right-hand lane and entered the rotary in the outside lane. Okay, now you could use either lane, but if you're in the right lane, the outside lane, you have to yield to the person who's in the rotary who happens to be exiting on Herring Cove Road.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you? If there's a person on the rotary, on the inside lane, wanting to go off into Herring Cove Road, they have the right of way because you got to keep the traffic flowing. At no time does anybody on the rotary have to stop to let somebody else onto the rotary.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
The only person that ever has to yield on a rotary is the person on the outside lane yielding to the person on the inside lane exiting.
Okay, makes sense.
There were two vehicles in the inner lane of the rotary, one slightly ahead of me and one slightly behind me. At the Herring Cove Road exit, I slowed a little to let the car ahead get out on Quinpool when I was forced to stop by the horn of the other vehicle, a truck, as it blared at me and passed 2 feet in front of my car to exit onto Herring Cove Road. So I ask, who has the right-of-way? Jamie says the truck. Jamie still says the truck, actually.
Okay.
But he begs to differ. Unfortunately, Steve, I hate to say this, but even though you were in the right lane, or the proper lane to get off on the Quinpool exit, if there were two cars in the rotary, like you said, one just slightly ahead of you and one behind you, you shouldn't have entered the rotary. If you're in the outside lane of a rotary and you want to go more than just one exit, then you've got to start doing some serious yielding to whoever is in the inside lane. If you're entering the rotary and there's somebody in the inside lane and they're exiting onto Herring Cove Road, you're cutting them off. You obviously are of superior intelligence and charisma just for listening to this podcast. So I'm not saying that, I don't know who to blame on this one, whether it's the province or the city. The fact is, it's all fine and dandy to tell people which lanes to be in, but that doesn't give you the right of way.
you still have to adhere to the rules of the roundabout. And those rules basically are the inside lane, he's got the right-of-way. They did implement roundabout rules on the Armdale Rotary a number of years ago, I think about 10 years ago.
You're pretty close. October 1st, 2005, mm-hmm. the Motor Vehicle Act was amended, and it changed how motorists are to drive through a rotary or a roundabout. But I guess the public was pretty much unaware of the impacts of this change until late.
Until the impacts of their cars.
Well, seriously, until June of 2006, and that's when the Armdale Rotary was impacted by the new legislation. Mm-hmm. So the Armdale Rotary, unchanged and still technically a rotary, it must function like a roundabout. Mm-hmm. So the new legislation eliminates the traditional practice of one-on-one merging. All traffic approaching a rotary or roundabout must now yield to traffic within the circle and can only enter when there is an adequate gap in traffic to safely do so.
So basically, you can get onto a rotary and get in onto the inside lane and drive around as many times as you want mm-hmm. without even looking. And as a matter of fact, this is something I did back in my university days where somebody bet me that I couldn't go around 100 times. And so I just went around onto a traffic circle and started going and driving and driving and driving and driving. And God, we got dizzy. It was just insane. Good it was the Lord. Stupidest thing in the world. But I digress.
That whole thing is the ultimate flustercluck from day one, because, I mean, you've got the Shebucto Road, which is sometimes, you know, two lanes of traffic one way, two lanes of traffic the other way, depending on the time of day.
Oh, and all and the traffic lights. And you used to have lights. A guy during rush hour that closed down part of the road.
Oh, exactly. The gates. Yeah.
There was a gate. Yeah. That, oh, yeah.
So without is it any wonder we don't know how to drive the Armdale Rotary?
And is it any wonder that the person from the Department of Motor Vehicles tried to advise me just to avoid the whole thing? There was a lot of confusion when it came to the Armdale Rotary. And that's because everybody just took it upon themselves to be nice and let other people in front and do things like, you can't do that. You know what? That's like saying, I know that this guy stopped at a red light over here and I've got a green, but I'm going to stop anyway and I'm going to wave the guy through.
Because I'm nice.
I'm nice. And that's what people do when they stop in the middle of a block and they tell somebody to cross in front of them or turn in front of them, or when they stop when they're on a roundabout saying, yes, you can enter now. You can't change the laws. That's going to get you rear-ended, first of all. And that's also going to get a lot of people very upset and a lot of people growing up not knowing what the proper rules are. And that's what happened to the Armdale Rotary. Steve, hopefully that clarifies my position and the actual laws. But you know what? You did make a good point when you said maybe we could ask one of the police officers, either Donnie Jenkins, or we could get Traffic Officer Jim on board. I bet you Constable Jim Shields would love to talk to us about that.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Yeah, so we'll grab somebody in here and we will talk about the rules of the rodeo. The rodeo that is the Armdale Rotary. Just be careful, because these other idiots...
Avoid it if you can.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Take the bus.
Move. Move somewhere that doesn't have these damn things, because they're a hazard.
All right. Thank you, Judge Jamie.
Yeah. Who the hell am I? I wonder if Peter Kelly could get me a job dusting for bugs.
Doing some bug dusting?
Yeah. All right. And on that happy note, I bid you all farewell, and we'll be back again on Friday.
Until then.